KUCI.
It makes me wanna. KUCI.
It makes me wanna.
KUCI. It makes me wanna.
KUCI.
It makes me wanna.
KUCI. It makes me wanna. KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
Good morning, Irvine and the world. This is Ryan Foland at Ryan Foland. That means that's my Twitter handle. And you are listening to Get Notified, the radio show here at KUCI where we talk about all things social media. Today we have an amazing guest who is probably the most compassionate person that I know, and we're going to be talking about what compassion has to do with social media, how equality and basically how we can use this idea of compassion online to communicate out there for equal rights and for equal everything. And she is a mover and shaker in the community in Santa Monica and LA and across the world, really, with some of the stuff that she's doing. So if you woke up this morning and thought, hey, maybe I'll learn some Twitter hacks today, you're wrong. You're going to learn to be more compassionate online. You're going to learn about how we can make the world a better place on social media. Now, my guest is Zoe Montaner. Zoe, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for that incredible introduction.
Well, hey, I'm so excited to have you here. And we have so much to talk about and so many cool things to talk about. Men, listen up, because we are going to tap into your feminist side. We're going to be talking about compassionate games, kind of like the Olympiads for people who care about each other. We're also going to be talking about some stuff that has to do with the United Nations, as well as a TEDx LA project called the City of Speakers. I mean, I wish we had about 6 hours today, but we've only got about 55 minutes and we're ready to go. Zoe, I love the name because it messes me up. It says Z-O-E with a double tap on top. Explain to me where your name comes from and then lead into who you are so our listeners can meet and understand how awesome you are.
Thank you, Ryan. And thank you for having me this morning. My mother actually chose it because a cousin of hers named her daughter Zoe. And it's a biblical name, it's Greek, and it means life. But it's the type of life that John speaks in the Bible that is spiritual life. So, yes, it's the etymology is the same as Eva. That means, you know, the first woman that carried life. So, yes, I was born in Puerto Rico. And I moved to Santa Monica in 1998. I loved it here because it seems a lot like Puerto Rico. It has the mountains, the beach. It's very politically engaged. It's small. It's 93,000 people. We have the farmers market. The farmer market movement started in Santa Monica 35 years ago. Yes, and it's a small town, and I like it. It's very different from the rest of L.A. You know, the buildings are low, even though that's beginning to change. It's developing more and more, and that's something that is politically challenging at the time because there's an initiative that is challenging the future of development in Santa Monica. So, yes, it's who I am, a single girl trying to make a difference in the world or doing her part.
Hey, well, that's the best you can do is try, and it sounds like you're actually doing a lot of impact. So from birth, you were set up for greatness with a name that essentially has to do with life, and you are helping a lot of people. You used the word politically, I think, 3 times in your intro, and so we'll, we'll talk about that.
Well, you know, the personal is political, and I've heard that many times. And Puerto Rico is very politically engaged. We had a voter turnout of over 80%. It's a holiday in Puerto Rico. It's very different from here in the States. So everybody, you know, votes. Everybody goes and have parties. My parents, I was raised with my parents going to work the polls every year, so I was always taken care of by a babysitter or someone or a neighbor, or I went to a party from friends of the family. So that was instilled in me at a very young age. And we are in November. So we are not in November, we're in October, but we have elections coming up soon. And social media has been a huge part of this election season. We've seen the campaign, grassroots campaign of Bernie Sanders that started as a social media movement and, you know, gained the hearts and the minds of millennials and a lot of the country. So you can see the power of social media in politics. And then Hillary Clinton's campaign followed with that and copied a lot of the strategies that the Bernie Sanders campaign was doing. And now everybody is using, you know, social media because of that when it comes to politics. So it social media democratizes, you know, the media in a way that everybody can have a voice. But the part that it's negative is that it also gives a source of platform for bullying. And that's where compassion comes in. You know, I am a firm believer in engaging in robust debate. And we are human and we are going to differ in our opinions and our politics. But we never should cross the line of, you know, insulting, you know, and insulting the integrity of other people for political or any reasons. So the compassion movement comes there. You know, every year we have the Compassion Games that it's from September 11 to September 21st. It ends with the United Nations Day of Peace, International Day of Peace. And communities around the world, this year we had over 300 teams in 20 or 30 countries. Wow. So it's a global movement, and it was called the Global Unity Games. And we engage in compassionate actions. And it can be political, or it can be civic, or it can be social. But it's about engaging your community in bringing the voice of compassion to the forefront of social media and the discussion, and then integrating that voice into our daily lives to create a more compassionate world, because we are living in a very polarized world.
Would you say that compassion is the opposite of polarization? It's that middle ground? You see, on the radio show, we have this term that I made up. It's called a GTO, and GTO stands for Grandma Timeout. I'm assuming that grandma knows what compassion is, but in a general sense, if you were to do a Grandma Timeout GTO, compassion, because it's existential in that it's taken so many different ways. But
yes,
what is a definition of compassion that people can understand that is like a line in the sand saying this is compassion? Is it just being nice to each other? Is it more of an accepting attitude? How would you define it? Because you probably have a tattoo of compassion on you somewhere, don't you?
Well, I don't have a tattoo, but I have a tattoo, a transparent tattoo in my brain.
Ah.
I like words. I'm a writer like you are, you know, and I like words and I like etymology and definitions, and I study words because they carry a huge meaning. So when I started in the compassion movement, I studied the word. And the word come from the Latin. Come means with, and passion means suffering. So compassion means to be witness, to be supporting those who suffer. So when it comes to social media, you know, we know the people that suffer that famine in Africa and the people that suffer because they don't have human rights. That's very common for us to witness and to identify. But when it comes to social media and we are engaging in conversations where we don't have the direct physical contact, we have to understand that everybody, at least I come from the perspective that everybody is trying to do the best they can on a daily basis. But we have to also understand that there are people suffering. And sometimes to engage in petty debate and insult doesn't move us forward. So what compassion means is that we have to think of the suffering. We have to be grateful for what we have and then share our kindness, our love, our gifts with the world at large. But it starts with us. It starts with our neighbor. It starts with our community. I'm a local person, so, you know, I'm a localist. So I focus my efforts in my local community. And if they can expand through the world and to a bigger stage and bigger city and LA County and then California, great. But I really try to focus myself in my city. I'm not perfect. I fail a lot of the times. And Karen Armstrong, the founder of this movement, spoke about this with Oprah Winfrey when she interviewed her. You know, she said, I'm not perfect. Sometimes I fail, and sometimes I am challenged. It's just having that commitment to every day become a better, compassionate force in a society.
Give yourself a little bit of credit, because you never said that you were perfect. You said that you base your thoughts on the assumption that everybody's trying to do the best they can. So you're off the hook there. I think we all fail. Especially gingers. Gingers fail miserably, but that's what makes us so strong. And each freckle represents a failure. So I've got a lot of freckles, which is a lot of failure, but that's a lot of learning. And now I feel strong.
Yes, I have a lot of freckles too, because I grew up in an island, you know, taking a lot of sun, and the sun damage revealed itself in my skin. So it's part of my mistake. My mother used to say, please don't go into the sun, but, you know, it's part of growing up in an island.
I love how you just said that you were taking in a lot of sun. I've never heard it in that reference. Like, I took in a lot of sun today. I like that.
Yes.
For those people
when I use language in English, it's really interesting because my first language is Spanish. And sometimes I use the syntax and the structure of Spanish with the English, and it comes out different. So, yes.
Sí, es no problema. Yo prefiero hablar en español porque es muy difícil.
Me encanta, entonces.
Sí, en inglés para yo es muy fácil, es no muy difícil, pero necesito más personas con hablas.
Okay, bueno, puedes hablar conmigo cuando quieras.
Perfecto. Amigos en el mundo, usted escucha el radio estación de Get Notified con el DJ Ryan Folland y Zoe Montaner. Y hablas con social media con compasión. So, pregunta, how do you say how again?
¿Cómo?
¿Cómo personas, how do you say, how would I say, how do people have more compassion on social media in Spanish?
¿Cómo las personas pueden tener más compasión en las redes sociales?
Comprendes, gracias.
Social media is translated into redes sociales.
Redes sociales.
It's interesting that you are talking in Spanish because it's Hispanic Heritage Month started, you know, I think it ended, yes, in September. But Voto Latino, that is a huge campaign to get Latinos to vote in this election.
Aye.
And they did an incredible social media outreach. You can find them on Twitter at Voto Latino. And it's the vote that a lot of candidates are, you know, courting. Because we are now the minority majority. So I'm proud to be Hispanic, and I'm proud to have two languages. It allows me to see the world in different perspectives and to engage differently, because I was not born here. Even though by default Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States, so by default I'm an American citizen. Mm-hmm. But I grew up outside of the mainland. I grew up in a territory that has a different culture, and it's called a commonwealth, but it's a colony, basically. We can vote in the primaries, but we cannot vote in the general election, and that's something that it's being challenged. You know, we need to either become a state or a constitutional amendment for that. And yes, I love the fact that you engage in speaking the language, even though you didn't do it perfectly.
Sí, and no muy perfecto.
That's about compassion. You're not going to do it perfectly, but you just go ahead and do it to the best of your ability. And each day you do it better.
Sí, yo necesito más palabras. No, necesito más palabras porque no problema con hablas, pero necesito más.
You know, I suggest that you listen to music in Spanish and that you watch Spanish television. I used to teach Spanish and I was a tutor, and I used those tools to help people really break those barriers and get more comfortable with the language.
So what are some tools, what are some tools that people can integrate into their social media strategy or their social media posting to be a bit more compassionate? I mean, should they just use the hashtag compassion? Is it a matter of finding people that are suffering and like their posts or retweet or send positive vibes? Because I think people in general want to be more compassionate, but I don't think they have the tools. So how about you pretend like you are a compassionate instructor? Maybe I'm somebody who's not really good at social media, but that's kind of the sweet spot because I'm not established and it's not like I know what I'm doing. I've kind of gotten over the fear because I've listened to this radio show on KUCI called Get Notified, so now I'm brave enough to be out there in the world. What are maybe the top three things that you can do on social media to incorporate compassion to what you're doing?
Well, first of all, I think you should follow the chapter of compassion in your local city. In the case of Santa Monica, we have Compassion Samo, that it's the Twitter handle for Compassion at Santa Monica, and you can follow us on Facebook as well. We have a Facebook page and a Facebook group, and you can learn more about, you know, how we are doing it locally in Santa Monica. But there's also the main organization called the Charter for Compassion, and they're based on Seattle. And they also have a website, thecharterforcompassion.org. And you can go to @thecharter on Twitter and follow them and learn. They give a lot of social media memes that you can share. Use the hashtag CompassionUnites. That's the hashtag that was designed for the Compassion Games that I talked earlier.
Now, is that Compassion Unite or Compassion Unites? Because I've got a tweet going on right now. It says, start to use social media with more hashtag Compassion. And then
compassion
I'm saying...
Compassion Unites. You can use Compassion, but, you know, Compassion Unites to
me
gives us that heart of why we use compassion, because when we connect with someone that is suffering, that goes back to the definition that I explained to you, it unites you to someone that have less than you, someone that is suffering. So compassion unites to me encompasses that purpose, that why we are compassionate, because compassion unites. And in this election season, you know, we tend to get so heated, you know, in the heat of campaigns, people make mistakes and people attack each other. So, you know, when you're tweeting political stuff, just put Compassion Unites. You know, that is part of leveling and taking that heat a little bit more balanced. Yesterday, I engaged in a Facebook, you know, comment that got heated, you know, and a candidate for city council went off the charts and called me ridiculous. And I was just surprised because I, you know, I was traumatized by, you know, being around crime in downtown Santa Monica. So I was just trying to do something positive in advocating for a safe city, you know, and advocating for solutions that can prevent this type of crime. And I got attacked on social media, so I have to defend myself, you know. And I did it to the best of my ability. I didn't do it perfectly, but I never call names on anyone, even if I'm insulted. You know, I've been called multiple names and on social media, you know, trolls have no imagination, but I never call, you know, insult someone's integrity or tell a lie, you know. If I put a post that is incendiary, that is considered incendiary, it's because it's rooted in fact, empirical evidence. It's not rooted into opinion. I'm very careful with that.
Hearing is these very simple kind of golden rule principles, which is don't call anybody any names, never insult anyone's integrity, and do your best, understanding that it's not perfect. Are those maybe the top three?
I think those are the top three, yes. And follow us in social media.
Yeah, what's interesting is that people are always looking for answers, right? How do I include more compassion into my social media, or how do I leverage this or that? But what you've just said, if you want to take a step back for a moment, the way to be more compassionate on social media is pretty much just don't be a jerk, right? I mean, by not calling people's names, by not being a troll, by not getting involved in these heated debates that don't have any positive purpose, by doing that, you are essentially being more compassionate.
Yes. And I suggest that every day, if you do like 4 or 5 posts on Twitter, just share one that is about civic engagement or, you know, compassionate engagement. Bring light through your platform about something that deserves attention, something that deserves compassion, something that deserves support in your city or in your community. That's how you're contributing to a better world, just by doing that. Now, during the Compassion Games, the Santa Monica Wellbeing Project shared some of the daily missions that we were sharing in social media. So for 11 days, we received from the Charter for Compassion, no, from the Compassionate Games headquarters mission for secret agents of compassion. And it can be unleashing mindfulness or unleashing peace or unleashing connectivity. And we posted it on social media, on Facebook and on Twitter. And the Wellbeing Project of Santa Monica also shared it in their social media and in their Facebook page. So, you know, I'm very grateful that they jump into the opportunity to make Santa Monica a more compassionate city. Because well-being, at the end of the day, it starts with we. If you look at the word, you know, going back to words and their meaning, well-being starts with W-E. So it's we. We cannot have well-being if we are not all in the same boat. If some, you know, if there's income inequality, that's not well-being. If there's social inequality, that's not well-being. So we have to work towards integration. And that's why I started the blog Diversity Matters in March, where I talk about issues of diversity and inclusion in my city, but also at large in the country.
Why don't you tell us real quick how people can find you? I mean, I'm interested to learn more about this compassion concept, hashtag compassion concept. And where do they find you online? I know that your Twitter is TheSantaMonica1.
Yes.
Would you like to share how we find some of these other things you're talking about?
Yes. The Santa Monica one was because I ran for office 2 years ago. I ran for Santa Monica City Council. And the team that was helping me with social media was looking for a catchy name. And since I was the only Latina that was running for office, you say, well, you're the Santa Monica one. You're the only one, the only Latina running. So it stuck, and I kept it, you know, after the election. So, yes, I'm in social media and Twitter. I love Twitter, at the Santa Monica, and the number one, not the letter, not the word one. And Facebook, also I have six different platforms. I have this, you know, social media for Santa Monica Compassion, but I also have Citizen Zoe. And Citizen Zoe, it's a movement that I started during my run for city council that is about bringing a little bit more zen to politics and to civic engagement and to the city. You know, when we engage Santa Monica, people are very passionate, you know, very politically active and very politically passionate. And I suffer from that. You know, by default, I'm Latina. I was born in Puerto Rico, so I'm very passionate also about my ideas. So Zen is about just getting to that place of chilling a little bit, you know, getting a little bit more quiet in the mind before we speak. So we try to engage people in that movement. And this election season, we have a campaign called Vote Zen, and it's a nonpartisan campaign to engage the yoga community and the meditation community of Santa Monica, all these yogis. You know, Santa Monica is considered the yoga mecca of the West.
Hashtag namaste. Love yoga. Yoga and karate, those are my two sides of my sword. And if you haven't tried yoga, go take a free yoga class. It's probably the most peaceful thing and a great workout at the same time. So love it. Yes. Go yogis.
For this season, I develop a hashtag called Vote Zen. So when you are supporting your candidate or you're speaking something political on social media, try to put the hashtag Vote Zen. So to remind people to kind of zen, you know, out. So I'm trying to send the vote.
I dig it. You're doing just a few things out there in the world. And how does somebody like you manage all of these different social media accounts, all of these different activities you have going on? What are some productivity hacks? Maybe you have now moved from a Spanish teacher to a compassion teacher, and let's pretend that you're a productivity tutor.
Well, I hope that if you name me a compassion teacher, that I've never heard that before.
I think compassion
people
coach.
Actually learn from my mistakes. Because I need to stress this out. I'm not perfect, you know, and I make mistakes. So if I am a compassion teacher, as you say, I would like people to learn from my mistakes, you know, and hacks. Oh my gosh, productivity. I'm always plugged. I use Twitter a lot and I use Facebook a lot. Those are my main platforms. When I cover the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia, I use Instagram. I love imagery, and I there was a lot to capture. And since I was by myself, I didn't have a crew with me, I had to use social media just to post my, you know, participation and my perspective through social media. So I'm going to be writing a piece for Diversity Matters that speaks about that process of being in the Democratic Convention for the first time and talking about diversity and inclusion within the realm of politics. But when you are trying to develop your voice in an arena like politics or compassion or civic engagement, that's when you have to use the tools of social media, because you don't have the budget, first of all. You don't have the money that CNN or NBC or ABC or even Fusion or other channels have. So you have to start small, and you start using these channels to broadcast your opinion and your word, and start using clever hashtags. I love, you know, the Democratic Party had the Dems in Philly, and it has the logo of their convention, and it was a very nice one, and I used it in all the postings that I did in the Democratic Convention.
I think it's interesting how you come alive. You get so excited about hashtags. You get so excited about social media, specifically as a tool to broadcast and share your opinion. I think that's an interesting concept. A lot of people might look at social media and think, well, what's the purpose? Everybody's just out there saying nothing to just say nothing. But you're saying you don't have the CNN budget. So if you're at an event, you're leveraging social as a tool to spread your opinion. And in a compassionate world of social media, you're totally fine to share your opinion. The reality is you might get a troll or somebody who is not being compassionate and they're calling names, attacking your integrity, or they're just being a jerk. So the only way it seems like compassion is going to continue is if you just try your best to do it. I like the fact that you said trolls have no creativity.
No imagination.
No imagination. Yeah, actually they are creative. They're creatively angry.
They're very
people.
Creative. Imagination, yes. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, you said opinion, but I want to make the difference between opinion and perspective.
Okay.
Because opinion is based on, you know, what you think. And perspective just requires a more mindful and more inquisitive opinion. So you really have, before you put your opinion, you know, and we have this desire to share on social media. I remember being at the Social Media Week event 2 years ago, and the tagline of that convention was our desire to share, or something like that. You know, one of the founders talked about our desire to share. But it's important that in our desire to share, we really become a little bit more mindful. Instead of pressing that tweet button before, we have to think a little bit of what we're putting out there. So when I share, I try to share with perspective. And reading about the issue and then listening to what I'm listening and then connecting the dots of research that I've done before and then putting a tweet and then putting a Facebook post or a Facebook note. That is something that I've been using lately a lot. I love the Facebook notes because it's like a mini blog, and then you can share in different platforms.
Okay, will you explain? Hold on, because I don't know about Facebook notes, and I always want to learn because everyone learns from everyone. So GTO, Facebook notes.
Yes, Facebook has a app that is called Notes, and basically you have a subject to speak about, and you title it, and you write a more detailed or extensive post. and it comes out when you post it as a note, and it's like a mini blog right there. Or you can actually write a blog on it, but it's not a blog post in the sense that you don't have a website, you know, and a domain name. So I use them for, you know, I started the campaign of Vote Zen using a note on Facebook, and it was the day before the National Voter Registration Day. So I launched Vote Zen on a Monday, and the following day it was National Registration Day, which was perfect timing, and I, you know, tied on those two. And now I'm reaching out to the yoga studios in Santa Monica. So I'm doing a promotion. It's not final yet, but, you know, we're striving to get yoga studios give a free yoga class when they register to vote at the studio. And then on election day, when people show their stub that they voted or they show the sticker that they voted, they get a yoga class for free as well.
That is great. I was talking about everybody should do yoga, and I also believe everyone should vote. And so you should do yoga and vote. Hashtag VoteOga.
Actually, you know, before you go voting on November 8th, just, you know, go to a yoga class first.
Yeah,
just relax, because it's going to be a long, especially in California, it's a lot of measures, it's a lot of propositions, you're going to be on the polls a long time, and there's going to be lines. It's, you know, presidential elections are different than, you know, the regular elections that we have every 2 years, that you should do yoga before going to vote.
I like that. And I've been tweeting you up this whole time. So if somebody wants to find you and they're following me, you'll see this. But I had just tweeted, it's important in our desire to share to be more mindful. Don't just press send. Think before you submit on social media. But I am now going to tweak this to a voting component. It is important in our desire to vote to be more mindful. Don't just vote. Do yoga and think before you vote. I kind of winged it at the end.
I put Vote Zen.
Oh, you know, I didn't have enough space for Vote Zen, but I did do a Vote Zen on the one before. I'd like everybody to pay attention about how passionate you are, hashtag passion about hashtags, hashtag passion zen motivational compassionateness.com.
Yes, because, you know, hashtag organizes a campaign. You know, one of the, we have different sectors. I also use Pinterest for Compassionate Santa Monica. So if you want to find us in Pinterest, we have Compassion Samo on Pinterest, and you're going to see all the sectors that we are trying to influence. The Charter for Compassion has sectors as well, and each chapter should devote time for developing sectors, or they can just do a general campaign. I focus in sectors, and one of the sectors that we have is women and girls. And I brought to the attention of City Council and our city manager, Rick Call, the He for She campaign. It's a campaign that is worldwide, and it has gotten, I think, more than 2 billion shares on social media.
Wow.
When you use He for She. Yeah.
So GTO He for She.
Yes. So I think you know a little bit about He for She. Do you want to talk about, to your audience, about He for She?
Well, we talked about it briefly, and it, and I did some more research on it, and it's essentially a movement to have both men and women rally around the equality issue of equal work, equal pay, equal rights, everything equal for women and men. And as you know, I am just as much a feminist as I am a ginger. I am a ginger feminist. And for all of you men out there, it's okay to be a feminist. It doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean anything unmanly. In fact, the most manly men, hashtag manly men, are feminists. It's because you realize how amazing women are. They're pretty much smarter than we are. They're more resourceful. They're all this stuff. But that's okay. We need to treat them as equals across the board from the corporate side of things. And Zoe, you saw me dress up as a life-size tampon as part of as part of the tampon tribe recently.
Yes.
And I'm just, anything that can help support women or help make their lives easier or make things a little bit more equal, I'm a big fan of. I have not officially pledged to the He for She, but I'm definitely right there. You had mentioned that you're friends with, is it one of the founders here from the UN sanction in Santa Monica?
Yes. Kathy Hillman is a longtime Santa Monica resident as well. She's the founder and president of the United States National Committee, Los Angeles Chapter for United Nations Women. And it's an independent nonprofit organization that specifically works to connect the dots between local and global women and concerns and inspire their local community to embrace the broader goals of UN Women.
So that's pretty much the definition.
Remember that I told you I'm a local person. I'm a localist. So from local to global, the UN Women is dedicated to building an inclusive community of like-minded people like you, in this case, who endeavor to live the change they would like to see in the world. So the UN Women focus on engagement to spread the cause of UN Women and the message of equity and gender equality in every walk of life. So I'm very proud to be a member of UN Women, of this Los Angeles chapter, and they also have a Twitter account that you can find them.
What is it?
Twitter,
I'm going to follow them right now. What is it?
On Facebook.
What's their Twitter?
At UN Women, I believe. I'm not sure. Just can you do a search really fast?
Yeah, I just did UN Women, and there's UN Women Watch, UN Women Youth.
UN Women Los Angeles chapter, UN Women LA.
Oh, there we go. I got it. It's UN Women LA. Gotcha.
Yes.
I'm following.
Yes.
So this is interesting because it's really...
The He for She is a solidarity movement for gender equality.
This is essentially the...
And it was developed by UN Women and made popular by spokesperson Emma Watson. She is in Harry Potter. And it engages men and boys as advocates and agents of change for the achievement of gender equality and women's rights.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this, one, is that we're both talking over each other because it means we're very excited about this, which is amazing. The other is that this is essentially a campaign that is using social media for the content, the essence or the archetype of this compassionate model online. Because there is a lot of suffering from women, and somebody like me, we can't just flip a switch and change it. We can only understand or listen to that. And when I say suffering, there might be some people out there going, well, not all women suffer. It's not a polarized thing. We're right in the middle. We're talking about acknowledging that there are challenges that women have that men don't have. And by just being there, being present, being part of that community, it gives you a chance to be compassionate. And people aren't looking for handouts. They're just looking for people to be on their side, not to be polarized, right?
Yes, I'm not asking for special favors. I just want to have the same opportunities that everybody else has. And as a woman, I'm also a Latina woman, so I have, perhaps more steps than regular women because I'm a woman of color. Even though when I moved here, it was really interesting because I didn't have this boxes that the culture here has. So I thought all this time that I was white, because my skin is white and my family, my grandfather came from Europe, from Spain. So when I moved here, it was not until a friend of mine that is a lawyer and from Spanish Harlem told me, Zoe, here you're not white. Here you're a woman of color. And it's, I have to restructure my identity because I saw how I was perceived, and I perceived myself as something different than the world was seeing me. So, it's part of society. It's part of the daily dialogue that we have on race and race relations and diversity and inclusion. And that's part of the work that I try to do as a blogger, writing about issues of diversity, because people think that diversity is Black and Latinos, and diversity is way more broad than that. Diversity includes LGBTQ. Diversity includes women. Diversity includes
gingers.
Seniors.
Gingers.
Diversity includes gingers.
Yes. We're one of the most underrepresented minorities out there because we're just kind of there's less people with freckles out there and people, bully
us. Yes. Yes. Going back for He for She, the campaign encourages men to speak out and take action against inequality faced by women and girls.
So here we go. It's official. Hold on. The He for She movement. Ryan Fulton is now part of it because he believes.
Well, I'm going to tweet that.
Oh, I'm going to tweet it. Okay. I was just going to do it live and then I'll tweet it. But let's think. So I need to make a declaration. I declare that women and men are both awesome and rightly so. They should have equal opportunities to do their best, even if they continually make mistakes.
We all do.
We all do. And again, that's part of this equality, bringing it together. One of the other words I hear you saying over and over is the voice, right? It's like, I'm speaking my voice now. You're compassionate about the voice of the equality, of the diversity. And we have maybe about 10 minutes left, and I think it'd be fun to talk about, you know, we're talking about social media, we're talking about compassion. For those of you listening to catch you up, Zoe is a woman of many hats. And it's not just because she grew up on an island. It's because she is very passionate about civic engagement, about creating more of a consciousness for compassion. She's involved politically. She is involved socially. And her tips for becoming more compassionate online are super simple. Don't call people names. Don't be an unimaginative troll. Don't get involved in integrity fights. Just be a part and listen to people's suffering. That could be a number of different things, and just be there for them. There's a number of causes that are doing the work, and one of the big suggestions I want everyone to take away is this idea of, if you're out there tweeting, Facebooking, pinning, whatever you're doing, try to incorporate one compassionate share per day. That means something that needs attention, something that people in a very small office or at their home that are trying to push a cause, they need your support, and it doesn't cost you anything. And you can then feel good about being compassionate in your social media by just sharing some of these other messages that might resonate with you. And that kind of brings us full circle to how you and I are now working together on a project that I've got going as a pre-TEDx LA project called The City of Speakers. And if I had sound effects, I'd have them drop right there. I think that this idea of a voice and people listening before they speak and people thinking before they act is amazing. But I think there's a lot of ideas and things that are trapped in people's head. Things that people are thinking, but they're not saying. And I'm always very curious about what people are thinking. I just don't think we listen enough. So this pre-TEDx LA project called City of Speakers, and we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at City of Speakers, and on the main TEDx.LA site, as well as cityofspeakers.com, we're trying to collect these voices. And I am so pumped on this project. I'm so pumped to have you involved, because you're going to help me get to these diverse communities, these underrepresented communities, these people who have passion, have a voice, they want to be heard. And we're just going to document the process, put it all together, present it at TEDx LA, and it's going to be fan-compassionate.
I am so stoked to be part of this project. You know, I'm working with you. I met you when you were the MC at Ideas LA conference.
The ginger MC, yes.
You know, you had this amazing spirit. You know, you speak a lot about me, but you also have this amazing presence. You're a really seasoned speaker. You are super engaging, and you're real and authentic, and that's what I like about you, and that's what I like about this project, that it's real, it's authentic, it's grassroots. It has all the elements of everything that I'm involved with. And
you're so nice. You're so nice. Thank you for that. I think you literally gave me some goosebumps, and I might have gotten like two or three more freckles. That's great.
Well, it's true. I'm not telling any lies. It's true.
Well, we know you don't, because you're compassionate.
And then when I saw you again at the Jennifer Eddins Tampon Tribe, you know, show, I'm like,
speak about the Tampon Tribe.
We're in the same wavelength.
Are you part of the Tampon Tribe? Real quick, so people understand, because here I am saying I dressed up as a life-size tampon, and people are thinking that's weird, but it was actually a comedy show as the launch. Yes. We had 8 amazing comedians, and then the ginger MC, and I was taking some risks, but what do you think, real quick, what's the 30 seconds on Tampon Tribe and why it's so amazing for really women of the world?
Well, first of all, Jennifer is a powerhouse. She's the editor of the Santa Monica Mirror, and she edits, I think it's 6 other publications that are part of Mirror Media.
Wow.
And she is developing a product, and she developed a product that is superior to what we have in the market right now. And on top of that, you don't have to go to the market. You order online, and it arrives directly to your house. So it's, again, using social media, using technology, you know, so she's a tech entrepreneur. then it also helped communities around the world. So the vision is that this would be access to women in communities that don't have the access that we have to pharmacies and to product of this quality.
And seen. I love it. I think Jennifer's going to hire you. I've got a tweet halfway. Speaking praises about at Tampon Tribe here at KUCI-FM with guest at the Santa Monica One. Keep up the great work changing the world. Hashtag, what do you think we should do with this hashtag here? Because you are the hashtag queen.
Compassion Unites or Vote Sin.
Compassion
Unites. It's the hashtag that I'm using a lot right now. I want to talk about City of Speakers.
Okay. We have about 5 minutes. Let's talk about this. Tell us what your thoughts are and why it can be such an important, I mean, you thinking about this as like a living history, and there's so many cool components. I want to let you just like do your compassionate rant about it. Hashtag compassion rant.
Well, going back to politics, because okay. Politics is part of everything.
Yes.
When the primary took place, I went to see how the votes are counted and see how that process takes place. And if you go to Norwalk, to the county registrar's office, you can be part of that. And they are very accommodating, and Dean Logan has an incredible, you know, team over there that allows us to have access to see how the votes are counted and how it's the certification process of an election takes place. And I learned over there that Los Angeles has the most diverse electorate in the country. So they have to publish all these different pamphlets and all the voting materials in so many different languages because it has to be accessible to all. And I said, well, when you started talking about City of Speakers, I said, it's important that we carry that to City of Speakers, that we are the most diverse city in the world, that we have so many languages and so many different neighborhoods and so many different voices. And to me, also, it's important to bring to light that there's a lot of voiceless people.
Mm.
So
yes.
my job is to be, you know, at Diversity Matters, and the work that I do with Compassionate Santa Monica is to be the voice of the voiceless. So I want to really engage the homeless community, because these are, you know, also Los Angeles is considered to be the homeless capital of the United States. So we have a huge problem of homelessness. And I think, you know, the event that we are going on Friday at the Broad Theater here in Santa Monica from the LA Times, the Summit of the Future of Cities, will give us more information about that. You know, LA Times put these incredible events that are summits. And they bring, you know, speakers that are on top of their game and industries that are emerging but also changing cities. And they did one on the environment last month or 2 months ago, and this one is in the future of cities. So it involves development and homelessness and all the things that we need to take in consideration to become a resilient city and to become a city of the future.
And we're going to be there, and I'll be behind the camera, and you're going to be interviewing these people. Whether it's your vote, whether it's your voice, whether it's your perspective, what's important is that you feel comfortable to share your voice. And it doesn't have to be right or wrong. It's a universal perspective with everyone collectively together. And I like to think of your voice as one of the most powerful things you have. Whether it's asking for a cookie, to asking for a raise, to pitching your wares to try to get investment, to simply humbly asking someone for help. And I just think that right now, not everybody has this voice. It's not only the homeless, it's people that are not feeling good about themselves, or maybe in an abusive relationship, or maybe a female that is afraid to talk to her boss about breaking that ceiling. And for me, this project is so dear to my heart, because I really believe that if you can be comfortable speaking your voice, you can get whatever you want. And yep. It doesn't mean you have to be polished. You can say ums, ahs, so, but, you know, you can have a low voice. It's just about being true to yourself and authentic and being comfortable and communicating. I am really excited to have you hand deliver me into some of these areas that, as a lonely ginger, I might be scared to go to myself. I'm not really scared, because I do have a black belt, so I can hold my own. I'm the kind of black belt that will, like, put you in an awkward position so you can't hurt me. It's not like I'm just going to punch you in the face. So just if you ever come up against me in a bad situation, and I will protect you. I'm really excited to have you involved with this, and we're looking for support and help. So if anybody wants to get involved, cityofspeakers.com. There's no money involved. We're not secretly trying to do anything funky. It's just a fun way to let people share what's on their mind.
Yes. And I'm going to be a speaker at the hashtag 140 conference.
Yeah.
It's in November 14 in Westwood. I introduce you to Deborah and Jeff.
Yeah, we're going to work with them.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes, so we're going to be covering their convention at the conference and getting the voices of the 140 conference, hashtag 140 conference.
Yeah, just look that up. So
I'm going to be hashtag giving a talk there. Does diversity matter? Is the name of the talk that I'll be sharing at the conference.
Amazing. So hashtag, we're out of time. But hashtag,
yes.
Thank you so much for such a wonderful talk. And I'm excited to work with you and learn from you and follow you and tweet you and all that kind of stuff. And check out your Facebook notes. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been graced with the most compassionate guest I've ever had. And be compassionate. Stick around for the next show. Make sure you're following KUCI here. That's KUCI in Irvine, 88.9 FM. That's here locally, but we stream to the world at KUCI.org. Check out more shows at getnotified.kuci.org. And Zoe, in Spanish, we are going to say goodbye on the count of three. Uno, dos, tres. Adios.
Adios, amigo.
Adios, amigos. And we're going to end with a little bit of music as we transition shows. See you, Zoe.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Get Notified with your Ginger MC, Ryan Foland. If you want to catch other episodes, check out getnotified.kuci.org. I interview all kinds of amazing guests. If you'd like to be a guest, you can also apply there. Thanks so much for listening. Be compassionate. Submit your voice to cityofspeakers.com, and we will see you next week, every week, 8 a.m. here at KUCI 88.9 FM and live streaming at kuci.org. This is Ryan Foland signing off.